For any organisation in the business of manufacturing and exporting to a global customer base, there are few greater nightmares than the threat of a supply chain breakdown. Yet, the unthinkable happened in early 2020 as businesses scrambled to meet rising customer demand amid factory lockdowns and logistical bottlenecks. In this podcast, we share Lenovo's experiences across a turbulent year and discuss the learnings for how businesses can keep supply chains running smoothly in conditions of such uncertainty. My name is Caroline D'Souza, and I'm delighted to be joined by Shona McDonald, Executive Director of Global Customer Fulfillment at Lenovo DCG, to discuss this very relevant topic. Shona, would you like to briefly introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hi, Caroline. Yes, thank you. And first of all, let me thank you for inviting me to talk to you today. As you said, my name is Shona McDonald. I am the ED of Customer Fulfillment globally here in the Lenovo DCG global supply chain. I have in total just over 16 years of experience in the supply chain. And I have, for the majority of that time, worked with DCG products.
So, Shona, to start, let's talk about the pan-industry experience. How did things unfold once the scale and severity of COVID-19 virus was known?
Yeah, Caroline. So I want to answer that question, I guess, first by talking about what the supply chain really is in a company. And a supply chain is normally a quiet, near invisible part of any organisation. A supply chain should be a machine that's working in the background. And when the pandemic hit, supply chains all over the world, across all industries, overnight were suddenly in the limelight. They were being talked about in the media. It was a new word for a lot of people. And we had went from being something, as I mentioned, that was in the background, that was a machine working in the background of a lot of organisations and a lot of companies, to being in the spotlight. And that's not something that a supply chain is used to having. And it meant that, you know, all across all sectors, supply chains had to act very quickly, with speed, with compassion, and make decisions under a high degree of uncertainty in order to continue to meet our customers' demands. It was really sink or swim time. And, you know, almost every company, including us here at Lenovo, that relies on a global supply chain has some kind of disaster recovery plan, scenario planning, crisis management, whatever you want to call it. I think it's true to say that most of us would never have thought that we would have experienced something to the extent of this pandemic in our entire lifetime. So even though a lot of companies would have had those plans in place, those plans wouldn't have been structured to cope with something like this. And therefore, a lot of places would have been caught quite off guard with the speed and severity that the pandemic brought.
So, yeah, very interesting times. We can talk specifically about how Lenovo responded to the crisis in a moment, but more generally, what were some of the risks that became really apparent?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot, Caroline. However, I would say there was four key risks that became very apparent very quickly. One of them was disruption in our factory operations. Now, that disruption could come at us from two angles. It could be that the local government, where that factory is based, ceasing operations in the country, telling people to go home. Or it could be, you know, worst case scenario, that there's employees in that factory testing positive and closures would have to happen. The other risk factor, keeping shipping lanes and logistics moving. Very quickly, it was obvious, you know, flights were being grounded, airspace becoming tight, becoming bottlenecked. Other risks, suppliers. So just the same as I talked about in factories, you know, keeping a factory open is good, but if your suppliers are not there and they're not open, then you suddenly find yourself halting. So suppliers being able to stay open and operational for the same reasons, you know, local governments closing down, sending people home, as well as keeping the people and employees safe. And finally, I've mentioned this a few times, but I'll hit on it again as my fourth point, the local government influences. So not just within where you might have a factory operation, but, you know, there was a risk factor in local governments when it came to not just factories, but where we had other employees sitting, where we had customers. And what became a big risk factor was the fact that each of those governments around the world, across continents and within continents, even in different countries, governments were acting and reacting differently to the pandemic. So it was very hard to guess or get in front of what was about to happen in any particular country.
Yeah, I know I've just said it, but it's just crazy times, isn't it? Right. Yeah. Drilling in now to the IT industry and Lenovo DCG specifically, how did the organisation respond?
Yeah, great question. We responded with a three-pronged plan, Caroline. One, and the most important, was protecting our people. Two, ensuring a continuity of supply in order to support our customers. And the third one was working very closely with local governments to ensure that we were acting within the right rules and regulations. So let me talk a little bit more in depth about each of those three things and what are some of the things that we've done within those. So let me focus on people. People are at the heart of everything that we are able to do and achieve. They're the heartbeat of our supply chain. And we needed to protect our people because not only the people that were going into factories and producing goods, but we also had to protect the people that in general would be working in an office and were now at home. We had to ensure that morale was kept up, that we were communicating well, that people's general well-being was looked after and measures were put in place. So we devised, you know, different kinds of activities and different ways to communicate than we normally would. So, you know, the use of video became an overnight sensation here for us because we're used to being quite face-to-face. The use of the likes of Microsoft Teams, for example, to be able to talk to somebody and see them, even, you know, things like quizzes or happy hours, things that could bring the team together and create a good spirit. And then I've mentioned again, communication. You know, communication was even more important during this pandemic to make sure that everybody had a knowledge of what was going on. You know, within Lenovo, within the team they were working in, but also had an ability and a forum to speak and ask questions. And so that was key. And as I mentioned, the other part of the people focus was people that we needed to physically go to their work, people that were in factories, for example. So we very quickly managed to put some really good measures and places in place in all of our factories, from being able to socially distance people, putting up screens between people, having temperature checks as people walked in the building, having people having breaks staggered so that not lots of people were in a cafeteria at one time, for example, even, you know, transport that we were using to bring people in and out of the factories. We got more buses, put less people in them. So it was, you know, that was one of the most key things, because without people or without that focus, we could have had a scenario where, you know, worst case, people got the virus. And also, you know, people started, morale started to dip, and people weren't able to do their job or, you know, or function well based on how the virus was impacting them. The second one that I mentioned, Caroline, was continuity of supply and having that in order to support our customers. So we worked very closely with our suppliers, supporting them. We didn't just understand what was happening in the countries where we had factories. We were understanding what was happening in the countries where our suppliers were. We were watching that closely. We were getting in front of it where we could predict anything. And we were, as I said, we were supporting them where we could, watching for those key moments and reacting. We managed to keep a good continuity of supply. And, you know, as a result, we managed to continue to get supply into our factories. Now, that supported our customers greatly. But at the same time, you know, there was other factors going on that at times meant, you know, our operation was less in some factories than others. So, you know, one of the other things that did help our customers and support our customers a lot was that we have a very robust IT system. And the IT system allows us, you know, with one button to move a customer's order from one factory to another. It also allows us to move supply materials from one factory to another. And we're able to do that very fast. And because we have a lot of our people who are in very specialised local roles, they were able to make very quick decisions and react to what was happening at a more regionalised level to make the right decisions for our customers, so that we could continue to serve them as best we could. The last one, when I talked about, you know, the government guidelines and a little bit in more depth, I mentioned before that it's not just about government guidelines and places where we are manufacturing or producing. It was understanding those government guidelines, as I mentioned, at our suppliers, but also where our people were sitting. Right. I'm sure a lot of people will resonate with the fact that if you were in a country where the government closed schools and you had children, then you found yourself not only having a job to do for your supply chain, but you had, a child or more than one child at home that you were supporting. You might have also had other members of your family that were reliant on you during that time. So it was important for us to follow those government requirements and to understand how that might impact us as a company and us as an organisation and our customers. One of the other good proof points that I wanted to share was our KPI success. So we have two main KPIs here in Lenovo DCG GSC. And one of them is what we call delivery accuracy. Our target for that is 94%. And we actually, financial year to date, we are at 96%. And if I put that in other terms, we are 96% of the time we are delivering a customer order on time to the date we had given them when they placed the order, which is, you know, a phenomenal achievement, given as well where we've had, you know, bottlenecks and logistics and issues crossing borders, etc. Our second KPI is what we call speed, and it is exactly that. Our target is to ship 75% of orders from our factories within 10 days of receiving the order. Now, this is one I'm particularly most proud of because that would be the one thing that, you know, at the start of this pandemic, a lot of people would assume would take a hit. But in fact, it hasn't. We've managed to hold that 75%. We are on track. We're at 75% just now, and we expect to close the financial year on that target. A great achievement, given what we know we've been through over the past 10 months. And finally, we work very closely with Gartner, this supply chain here in Lenovo. And this year, we managed to get our highest ever ranking in Gartner's supply chain top 25, and we were placed at position number 15. So that's not only our highest ranking, but we got that highest ranking during this time. So again, something that we're very, very proud of here.
I mean, the work involved must have been incredible, Shona. So that's some really impressive results. But can you share some examples of things that Lenovo did differently to maintain regular operations and learnings that you can share for other businesses, for instance, who may want to take that on board at this challenging time?
Yes, Caroline. One of the key things that I feel like we done differently, and we done very quickly, was we got more invested in our customers' needs from a supply chain perspective. And when I say that, I mean that we understood a lot more about what they were asking for, what they needed it, and then it allowed us to react in the correct way by prioritising orders, doing what we knew was needed to do to support them. So if I give you a few examples, you know, we supported industries from, you know, banking, pharmaceuticals, you know, institutional, educational, governments, for example, lots of different kinds of industries and different, you know, but we supported them for different things. So we had a number of orders that were for companies, institutions who needed to increase their infrastructure to allow their employees to work from home. So, you know, we've done that, for example, in some of the banking sector. We've done it for some governments. And then we had requests for support from universities, other institutions, research institutions, pharmaceuticals that were researching the virus and then eventually also working on a vaccine. And then we had customers who were, you know, really supporting their consumers, supporting their community as well. For instance, and I'm going to tell a story, one of many stories, but one that I think resonates with people more. But there's a story about an Italian supermarket called Esselunga. And they had contacted our Italian sales leader and said, hey, you know, we need help with some equipment because people are queuing outside for hours, 2, 3, 4 hours. And because of that, people are going home, they're logging on and they're trying to purchase their groceries online. But it was, you know, it was crashing their system. They didn't have the infrastructure to support the amount of people that were trying to transact on their website. So the call was, we desperately need equipment. And the Italian sales leader's response to that was, no problem. I'm going to get you equipment and I bet you I can get you those servers before you can get me my milk. And we did. From the day we got that order was placed by Esselunga. 3 days later, those servers were delivered.
I love that story.
So, and you know, Caroline, the one thing I'll say here and why I point to this as something I feel we've done differently, the supply chain invested themselves into those customers, their stories and their needs. And there was a human connection to that. We're all going through the same thing here. We all connected to the fact that people were standing outside that supermarket and then people couldn't get online, because we had all been through that. In fact, some of us were going through it at that time. You know, when the research companies needed prioritised, of course, because we all as human beings wanted that research to happen, wanted eventually that vaccine to come. So, you know, the team here really invested themselves and spent the necessary time understanding that so that they could be doing the right things for our customers. And we really did. We went over and above to ensure that those customers got what they needed when they needed it. So I would have said that was one of the key differentiators. And let me go back to the people thing a second, Caroline, because this is really key. And I talked about people feeling invested. We've in the DCG global supply chain, we have a culture that's very family-like. We support one another. And when the pandemic started to quickly escalate, that level of support heightened. And that level of support and family feel allowed us to, you know, stand up as an organization and know that we not only care about what we do, but we care about what that means, what we could potentially do and how we could support society in that. And across the world in this supply chain, as well as in all of Lenovo, what I witnessed and was people coming together to achieve greatness. And, you know, for a lot of companies, I'm sure that was tough at times because people may have been struggling, as I said, with other things that were happening in their life at this time and had to put work, you know, in the back burner. But this organization really came together to succeed. And I think that was one of the big important differentiators as well. That never give up attitude is something that's so refreshing. And it was so nice to see how large that attitude was and how much people were using it during the time.
Moving forward then and looking ahead, we are still in the midst of lockdowns and may see localized breakouts even once the vaccine is widely distributed. So from an IT supply perspective, what are your key priorities or, you know, careabouts as we look forward?
Good question, Caroline. The first one is keeping as people, right? We shouldn't get complacent about where we are in this journey, is my opinion. At the beginning, you know, we didn't know how long it would last. People in some countries have been at home working for nearly 1 year now. And I believe it's more important than ever to be focused on our people and our people's well-being, on mental health, on making sure that people have the support that they need. And even if you are going into work, even if you are in one of the factories, you know, people getting that support should be one of the key priorities and continue to be the priority, because this has been tough on people. It has been tough on just on human beings. And it's something that we can, as I said, get complacent and forget. The second priority is serving customers. Keep understanding their needs and customers' localized situations. That is really, really key. During this time, we weren't shipping things from factories and just hoping they could get there. We were prepared to go into each country that we were delivering to, where our customers were. We knew the situation in that country. We knew what we might be faced with at the border, and we prepared for that. So, you know, keep close to customers, keep close to those localized situations. The other one is showing commitments to our suppliers. We've held a strong commitment and a strong relationship with our suppliers, and we've continued to support them as much as we could through this. And we need to keep doing that. Again, we're not out of the woods yet. And, you know, the overall message here is not to forget what we've done and to keep doing it, because it's been successful so far. And then the last point I want to mention, which is something that we've done here, is I talked at the beginning about all supply chains will have some kind of disaster recovery plan, critical situation planning. But as I said, not everybody would have had a plan for what COVID meant, right? You know, a lot of people will have plans that says, if I have to close a factory, you know, if the worst happens, a flood, a fire, whatever, then what do I do? But a lot of people wouldn't have thought about, well, what happens if my factory stays open, but I have to socially distance? I mean, that concept of social distancing didn't exist before COVID. So the key here is we've learned so much this past 10 months. And as I said, we're not out of the woods. This is not over yet. So the key now is to make those plans. Have a playbook. We call it a playbook. We have, for example, we have a logistics playbook written. And we've done that because we've experienced our worst scenario with logistics and bottlenecks at the beginning of the pandemic. And a lot of that caused by flights being grounded and the prioritisation being on medical supplies. Now, right now, we have various pharmaceutical companies around the world that are currently producing vaccines. And that ramp is going at a very high and steep way. So our logistics network, all logistics network, is about to be faced with the movement and distribution of more and more and more vaccine. So there's another wave coming here, and we have to be prepared for it. And there's no excuse or reason why we cannot be, because we've already been through that kind of tightening in our logistics lanes. So have your plans. That's a priority. We face probably the worst of this, and the worst thing that we'll probably face for the rest of most of our lives. But we've been through it now, and successfully. So how did we do it? And what other plans do we need to put in place to make sure that we continue to act with speed as other things change over the course of the next months?
Is there anything else that you'd like to leave our listeners with, Shona?
Yeah, there is, Caroline. And it draws from what I just mentioned in terms of planning. COVID has changed, and this world and how we all operate in such a way that none of us quite know what normal will look like when we think we've gotten normal back. So my recommendation to everybody is don't go back into the old way of doing things, because I don't think that will ever work again. Take a moment at some point to think about this past 10 months and how organisations have grown and changed, and how we take that and look longer term. Because the way our customers are purchasing, for example, is different, right? We all have seen in a lot of countries the big push, for example, to, you know, buy local, right? To support smaller businesses and keep them afloat during this time. And that's just an example of how people's mindsets have changed, consumers and even companies. There's not one single thing anymore that someone is looking at when they're making a decision to buy. People are looking at a multitude of different things to make that decision. They want to know that they can work with a company that's reliable, that's ethical, that's focused on being sustainable. It's not all just about one thing. It's not just about somebody going and looking for a good price on a hotel or a television. They're now looking at that company that they're purchasing from. So it's more important than ever that we look at what we've learned this past 10 months and we focus on that and we implement that in our long-term strategy.
Thank you, Shona. You have been listening to the Lenovo Think Tech podcast. Next month, we will be speaking to a group of experts on the data economy and the power of data. If you have enjoyed this podcast and the information we shared was useful, then please subscribe for future content.